Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. It's not brought to you by the Volunteer State Bank anymore. It's brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 25 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. If you missed it, breaking news in the NFL. Tom Brady has made it official. He has announced his retirement from the National Football League, as multiple people are freaking out about right now on Twitter. Not a mention of the New England Patriots in this nine-page, I guess, thread that Tom Brady has put together. It's quite something.
The dude who deflated the footballs? No, nothing?
No love for anyone.
I mean, look, Belichick, fine. Okay, Kraft, I don't know. I guess I didn't really realize there was beef with Kraft.
I mean, he gave him beef a big hug last time he was there.
Beef with Kraft is an interesting idea. Yeah. Beef and cheese. But there's got to be somebody in the organization that he wants to thank. No? Is he bitter at everybody in the organization?
Maybe like the fan base? You know? I don't know.
There's that. There's got to be people. That's weird. Again, no Belichick doesn't shock me.
No.
No Kraft? Okay. No mention of the entire section of his life?
I mean, he talks about his career, but he doesn't mention the Patriots one time.
I mean, it was 2 years with the Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, 50% rate on winning it all is pretty great. It's better than the New England percentage, but jeez.
So is he going in the Hall of Fame in a Bucks jersey? Is that what we're doing here?
Oh, my God.
Going in as a Tampa Bay Buck, maybe?
Would he do that?
Oh, it'd be awesome. It would be amazing. Oh, man. I love Packers Twitter, by the way.
He should have to go in the creamsicle 70s Bucks uniform if
I agree.
He does.
Well, now Packers Twitter is like, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers coming back. There's no way Aaron Rodgers is sharing the spotlight with Tom Brady at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Oh, man.
No one wants to have the same retirement year.
It's great stuff. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
We were going to give you a pass.
Yeah.
Total pass today.
We thought you'd be really busy right about now.
What a guy. Yeah. What a guy. Such a friend of the show.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Awesome that we get the retirement finally today. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Great stuff. So, Charles, what do you make of all this with the retirement of Tom Brady coming out, he announcing it? After the speculation back and forth the last couple of days, the reporting over the weekend, now Brady makes it official. Hard to believe we'll ever see a career quite like this one again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that clearly ESPN did not follow this timeline. Like, I think there was a little bit of panic that set in and triggered the report on Saturday. You know, I think what was interesting about this was, you know, Man in the Arena, the last episode was supposed to drop, you know, everything, oh, it's all dropping on schedule, and all of a sudden it just didn't drop. And anyone, I think, associated with ESPN was kind of like, oh, we don't know why it didn't drop. Like, really, you know why the last episode didn't suddenly drop. Like, maybe it has something to do with the fact that this guy's retiring. You know, I think the whole Saturday thing was pretty hilarious, but you know, what are you going to do? I get it. Tom Brady wants to do it on his own timeline, and it's like you said. I think it's a career that we'll never see again. I thought it was interesting to hear Tony Romo though going into this. I think it was I want to say Friday morning. He was talking to like Good Morning America or I don't know some morning show, and he kind of speculated that he said, look, I could see Tom coming back in 2 years. And it sounded crazy at the time, but the thing that's interesting about it is Tom knows Tony. And, you know, Tony knows what it's like to walk away from football. And he basically just said, look, like, there's no challenges here for him. He's always been driven by challenges. He's like, if they had won the Super Bowl this year, he would have come back because he would have sat there and he would have said, hey, I can win three in a row. No one's ever done that. That's still a challenge there for me. He said, but, you know, Tom loses, and this is the way I always kind of saw him walking away. But he made a good point where Tom's walking away at the top. You know, it's not like Peyton Manning with nerve damage and a noodle arm. It's not like Drew Brees, who's lost his deep passing game. He put up one of the greatest quarterback seasons in NFL history. He's walking away, and all those other guys who retired, they all got calls from teams, at least in the interim, for the first, you know, year or two. Hey, can you come in? Drew, you know, Sean Payton steps down from the Saints and he says, yeah, I called Drew. we're in a horrible mess, and I totally called Drew to see if he would play, you know, come play quarterback again. Tom's going to get those calls from teams, from people who are close to him, from people who know him, and maybe from some who don't, because of the fact that he's retiring at a time where all of us on this call right now know he could play another season easily and still be a pretty good quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to retirement, how he feels when, you know, the fall rolls around and that train, you know, the NFL train moves on without him. And, you know, what it's like. I get he wants to spend time with his family and all that. I totally understand all this. But give him a year out of the game. I'm curious how he'll feel, you know, at 46 years old, whether or not someone calling him and saying, like, hey, you interested in coming and playing another year, whether Tom might think about that.
All right, explain to me, Charles. Look, I understand being, you know, obviously Brady Belichick, I mean, that is what it is, and I guess Robert Kraft, but how in an extensive farewell post does no one for the New England Patriots, how did the Patriots at all not get mentioned? What's that about? That's a deep sigh right there.
I mean, it's a good question. It is, and I mean, it's something that, you know, if you read Seth Wickersham's book, you know, It's Better to Be Feared, it's pretty clear how burned he was on, you know, I think he was just worn out inside the page. I'm stunned. I'm with you, though. I do. That is a question that I mean, I can't answer other than just to say, you know, you knew when it wrapped. I feel like he felt, and he was signaling it for a while inside that organization, that he felt beaten down, a little unappreciated. You know, we look from the outside in, and a lot of the things that we recognize, he does too. So I'll give you an example. Financially, Tom left a ton of money on the table for a lot of years in New England. He never maxed it. It wasn't like, you know, like Breeze, for example. Breeze, he maxed his salary every time he had a chance, an opportunity with New Orleans. He maxed it, and it, you know, it was stressful inside that organization. Tom didn't. You know, you could go back and look at the salaries that he earned over the totality of his career there. He probably left $100 million on the table. And, you know, I think that's something that irks him a little bit. I think, you know, he definitely felt the last few years, particularly, you know, probably from the point where Jimmy G was traded on, where he felt like, you know, they thought they could succeed with another quarterback, you know, like, oh, he was, not that he was a system guy, but that they felt good enough about how the offense ran that they felt like he was interchangeable. He thought that was a joke. And it obviously was. Once he left, it was pretty clear that, you know, he had a lot more to do with his success of that offense than maybe they might have anticipated. I don't know. It's something for him to address, frankly, long term. That's something that always, I think if there's one element of him that will be unpacked the remainder of his post career lifetime, it will be like Montana and Steve Young. That's always been the thing with Montana that we've talked about, was that really difficult relationship that he had with Steve and how he felt about the 49ers treatment of him when Steve was in the building and the awkwardness. I think that's going to be the way it is with Tom. It's just sort of how he felt about where they settled on him his last 4 or 5 years. And I think you would even start with the loss to Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, because that to me was when I really started to hear he had it and was just snapped and was ready to go. That's when it became apparent he was so upset with Belichick and a lot of things that were going on inside the organization.
So, Charles, with that in mind, there's this idea being floated out there that, you know, it's Tom Brady. You're not waiting 5 years to put him in Canton. You should just put him in right now. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not a Hall of Fame voter, you know, but I don't know. There are certain individuals in the room who tend to be you know, stickler, so Tom's not going to get any special treatment either. Remember, it's the same. There are people in that room who, you know, have kept Paul Tagliabue out, or at least kept him out as long as they could because they had grudges. You know, I think T.O. was another guy who, you know, was kept out, wasn't a first ballot of the Hall of Famer because of how they felt about him. I don't know. I'd be surprised if they bent the rules. I will say this. He is the quintessential, when you talk to, you know, some of those people who vote in those Hall of Fame meetings, there's the say the name, sit down, vote, and that's Tom. You know, you stand, if you're presenting Tom Brady, you stand up and you go, it's Tom Brady, you sit down. And he goes in, you know, first ballot, unanimous Hall of Famer. So if there's anybody who deserves to go in immediately, it's Tom Brady. But, you know, I'm part of the AP panel for voting, and I can tell you that some people take things, you know, as seriously as they possibly can, and even Tom Brady is someone who the rules won't be bent for him. But I agree with you. I mean, like, if there's anybody who deserves to go in the second after he retires, it's him. Although, I'm telling you, let's wait a year and see how this guy, see how he feels a year from now. Because he's not Peyton Manning when it comes to all the external stuff. I know, I feel sometimes like we all just assume, oh, it's going to be like Peyton Manning in his post-career life. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be as commercially successful as Peyton is.
He doesn't have that comedy timing, you know. But, right. But yeah, I mean, if people are begging Phil Rivers to come back from coaching to play, boy, Brady's going to get
all
barraged.
That's the thing. Like, people don't realize that, like, all these quarterbacks, like, they, you know, good ones that when they retire, like, it's, of course, they get a call. Like, it's just somebody ends up in desperate straits, and enough people have touched Tom Brady's career to, you know, pick up the phone. And I get that, too. I'm like, of course, why wouldn't you? Like, he literally, when you look at the season he just put up, it's ridiculous. It's a complete joke, you know, 44 years old. And it was funny because when Romo said it, at first I was, and even Romo was like, I know, it sounds crazy. And I'm like, yeah, it does. But then again, when I look at this guy's numbers, I'm like, this is ridiculous, the numbers he just put up. And of course, the funny thing about his career is everything looks crazy. None of it's believable. Like, so why wouldn't a quote-unquote Jordan-esque come back in a year or two, you know, somebody calls him and he misses the game enough to say, yeah, you know what, I'll give it one more year. Everything else is crazy because it's a sixth-round pick. Like, it's stupid. They had the funny thing about his career that I don't think gets talked about a lot is a few years ago I was talking to Charlie Weiss, his former OC in New England, and he said, you know, you know how close he was to not making the roster? He's like, we had to keep four quarterbacks to keep that guy on the, like, he said, literally, he said, go back and look at the roster. He said, we had a 53-man roster, four quarterbacks. And he was like, he was legitimately the fourth quarterback on the roster. That's how close he got to being cut from our team. He's like, you know, nowadays nobody keeps four quarterbacks. And we had to keep four just to squeak Tom onto the roster. That's how close he was to being cut as a rookie. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I said earlier, if he's a seventh-round pick of the Lions, he started coaching middle school football in, like, 2004. You know, like, I mean, like this could have gone so many different ways. But obviously, incredible career. He's going to be a heck of a defensive grinder, small forward for the Wizards here in a couple of years when he comes back, too. That's going to be amazing. But, Charles, I got to get you real quick just on the championship games. And what is the proper takeaway from what we just saw this weekend? If you could distill it.
I think it's pretty simple that we're – if you didn't think that, especially in the AFC, if you didn't think that having the right quarterback is a big deal, go back and watch the 49ers game and the loss to the Rams and sit there and gauge your feelings the last two drives for the 49ers. You have any belief whatsoever that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be able to put together a meaningful drive that was going to make it? No, you didn't. If you're being realistic, this is the last quarterback left in the playoffs where you're like, when they got the ball, you're like, he's not capable of doing this. Like, this is, I'm sorry, but when they got the ball at 146, I was like, yeah, this is over. Like, there's no way this guy's driving them, even into field goal range, let alone 75 yards. Like, you know, Patrick Mahomes it takes you where you need to go in 13 seconds. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo could have 13 minutes.
Man, hammering Jimmy G.
I don't think he would have. Look, I don't think he would have got. It's just, I think, again, we're sliding into this era where there are already teams that are like, look, if you don't have a quarterback who's, you know, exceptional, you're not going to end up winning a Super Bowl. And I think he straight up displayed it. There was a reason why they tried to get rid of him last offseason. They tried to move on Aaron Rodgers, to, you know, cash in everything he could to draft Trey Lance. And, you know, he showcased it. Look at the top, and with Burrow, that's the crazy thing too. Now with where Burrow's at already, this ascent, I mean, we don't know, if, you know, we'll see if this continues on. I assume it will. You know, he's clearly a great player. But look at the top quarterbacks in the AFC. You have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, Lamar Jackson. I'm leaving a couple out because it was somebody was talking to me about Aaron Rodgers going into the AFC, and I'm like, dude, the top six Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
It's like the top six quarterbacks in the AFC, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. And I'm like, why would Aaron Rodgers want to go in the AFC now? Like, it's insane. But that's sort of where we're entering. All the, you know, Tom Brady's retiring. I guess that leaves Aaron Rodgers as the last guy in this golden quarterback era. But man, the young guys that are now in the league that are ready to take this, we may actually be entering. I mean, I don't. It's early. It's hard to say this, and you know, it's recency bias, but we may be entering a quarterback era that actually can take the baton from the last one, and the last one was pretty insane.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Charles, we appreciate you taking time to join us. We know you're a busy man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Absolutely. See Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Wide to the left. Brady looking the other way. Brady going deep down the right sideline for Evans. He makes the catch. He's in for the score.
You played against Brady in big games. I mean, so many of them, the Patriots and the Steelers played all those years. What stands out to you?
Yeah. That he absolutely owned us. That I played for one of the greatest coaches of all time, and Coach Dick LeBeau, I think the greatest defensive mind the NFL has ever seen. And we dominated folks. I mean, we smashed folks. We dominated them physically. We dominated them mentally, emotionally. And that when we played Tom Brady, there was nothing that we could do with him. And it didn't really matter who he was throwing to, who was playing running back. Tom Brady was just better. He always found ways to exploit your defense. He always understood what you were going to do to attack him more than he even understood what his game plan was. And he made those adjustments. Tom Brady, to me, is not only the greatest player to ever play this football game, but he's the game's greatest competitor. He's the game's greatest learner. He's the game's greatest achiever. And you always knew, as long as Tom Brady was a part of the AFC, that the championships went through him. And I think to be that guy and to hold that throne and to kind of be the gatekeeper to rings is a very unique place to be. This dude's had like five careers, and Teddy kind of mentioned that. He was a complimentary piece, and then he was a star that won Super Bowls. He was a star who was great offensively and productive and lost Super Bowls, and then he comes back and he wins them again as an older player at MVPs, and then he goes to Tampa. Tom Brady has invented and reinvented himself more than any player in any sport in the history of the major sports in the country of America, and he will be remembered to me as the greatest living American, as John Anderson likes to call him.
Greatest living American.
Greatest living American, Tom Brady, announcing his retirement from the NFL today. That was Ryan Clark, of course, former Pittsburgh Steeler, now on with ESPN. Greatest living American.
Yeah, I was with him until, you know, that might be strong. But that was a great endorsement of, you know, as a guy who went against him with great teams who they could, you know, he kept beating those teams.
Yeah.
That was a well said, greatest learner, achiever. You know, again, the mental side of the game, knowing what defenses are going to do better than they know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Accuracy. I mean, it's a lot more than, you know, your arm talent.
This coming from NBC New York on Twitter. Says Tom Brady. It says breaking. Tom Brady, who lost two Super Bowls to the Giants during his legendary 22-year NFL career, retires. See his full message here.
Tom Brady, who went 0-2 against Eli Manning in Super Bowls.
That was awesome.
Nice.
Great stuff there. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. I will say, one part of this I had not really thought about until he started talking about it last segment. And we'll have plenty of time this week to talk about Tom Brady and his legacy and all that stuff. But in the immediate short term, how does this affect the quarterback race in the NFL? Like if you're Russell Wilson and you're Aaron Rodgers, those are the two guys we spent a lot of time talking about. With Brady out of the NFC, why in the world would you want to go to the AFC now? Like, that's a great point brought up by Charles. Like, you're going to go, like, especially like the Broncos get brought up all the time. So you're going to go play against Herbert and Mahomes in the same division and all these other quarterbacks that Charles listed in the AFC. And you're looking over the NFC right now. Now, there's Stafford. There's Murray. There's still some really good quarterbacks in the NFC. It's not the same as the AFC, though. Like, to me, does this change the quarterback conversation with Wilson or Rodgers now that Brady's out? That's an interesting part of this.
Yeah. You got Dak. I mean, you got some good quarterbacks in the NFC. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would like it. Of course, their clubs who are trading them are like, no, how about you go to that side? Go over there. But, yeah, maybe. You know, but I still think, look, even with those guys in your division, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you love the coaching situation and you look at the roster and say, yep, like that's a playoff team. And, I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, are you seriously trying to duck Mahomes and Justin Herbert? No, I mean.
But it's also, like, it's no secret why Aaron Rodgers is still playing. Like, I fully believe had they won the Super Bowl this year, he would have walked away. He would have been done.
So he's trying to take another shot.
So that's why he's playing. Right now, what's your path? Like, what's the easiest path?
Yeah, there are.
It's in the NFC for
sure. But again, but you can sit there and say, you know what? If I go to either Indy or Tennessee, then that team is the clear favorite in the division. We got four gimmies.
Yeah.
Not that the Titans won all four gimmies this year, by the way, nor did the Colts. But you look at it that way, four gimmies. It's very reminiscent of the NFC North right now.
Yeah.
And you know, the playoffs are the playoffs. You get in the AFC playoffs, you got all those quarterbacks. Well, guess what? Justin Herbert wasn't even in the playoffs this year. And on the other side, the Rams are still going to be totally stacked next year, by the way. And they're in the Super Bowl right now. So I think you could make the case on either side that if you're going to play at your best, that you can take a team there. If you're that good.
Paul on the text line says, what is Stillman going to do with his custom Tom Brady Titans jersey now? It's a good question.
Maybe he'll... Wait, does he really have one of those?
I don't know.
I don't know
that he doesn't. Let's just say that he does. He likes to just go with half-truths and falsehoods on the air. Yeah. How many of those do you have, Jared?
Well, he'll have a Today Show. Will Tom Brady come to the Titans in 2024? So you ready for the Titans coming in 2024?
Hey.
Take a year off. Just clear your head a little bit, Tommy.
I mean,
come back in there.
It could happen.
Good.
He is going to be – I mean, he almost needs to, like – go. If he doesn't have any desire to come back, and I could totally see him having it, by the way, then he needs to, actually buy an island and go there for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to get bothered.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as they take on Vancouver tonight. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time to welcome in our good friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. See, Mace, what's going on? How are we doing?
What's up, guys? Doing good. Just going to chat with you guys and then diving right into our production meeting.
Absolutely. Big day here today in Smashville. Preds taking on Vancouver tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, See, Mace, this is a bit of an interesting situation for the Predators. They haven't played since Thursday. They'll play today, and then they're off again for another week. As a player, I'm not sure that you ever went through anything quite like this, but how do you kind of approach this when this is basically your only game in like a 16-day span?
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, I think everybody's kind of getting used to everything now, so nothing is really surprising, but it is tough. And I guess, you know, the plus side of this is you've had some extra time to prepare for one team. So you can kind of slowly, kind of design your practices, I guess, to combat and to play that team, which is Vancouver, and they played last night. So it is weird, but at the same time, it's going to be an opportunity for these guys to be, you know, maybe as rested as they've been all season long to play this one game, and then they go into the little break. So it will be interesting because, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit. I've talked about it on here and on air is that you're not quite as sharp. Like, you're not ready to go. There's going to be a little bit of rust. That, you know, doesn't matter how much you've been practicing. There's just a little different tempo and a little less time when you have the puck in games and when you add in all that body contact that I'm sure these guys aren't hitting each other in practice like they unleash on other teams in games. So that'll hopefully be something that they can, kind of quickly get adjusted to. And, you know, that's sometimes you can and sometimes you're not. It's just kind of, you know, individual circumstance. So we'll have to see how the start's very important for these guys.
Yeah, within that, Chris, what are you looking for then in the early stages to tell you, okay, you know, they've got it shaken out of them, or okay, this could linger for a bit?
Well, for me, I think decision-making is the biggest. They were playing so well before the break, and you got guys like Forsberg, Duchesne, they're making, you know, great passing plays, and their execution level is really high. But for me to start the game, I hate to say it, but with, you know, it's effective. If you chip it in deep and you really establish your forecheck, it allows you the extra time, I think, to get into the game, get your hands back, get your timing back. I think when you try to skate pucks in and try to maybe make some fancy plays through the neutral zone, you get pucks turned over, you find yourself defending a little more, and that kind of, I feel, has a little bit of a snowball effect in terms of the way that, you know, everybody comes out and plays, and there's a little bit of panic. But I feel the best chance to give your team success is less is more to start the game when you haven't played, because just play it simple. Just play it like a road game. And then, you know, eventually you'll be able to get to your game and start making plays again. But I think you have to commit to that early on, first 10 minutes for sure.
See, Mace, as we know, there's a ton of good goalies in this league, and a lot of guys have put up great numbers. I mean, Andrei Vasilevskiy continues to be amazing for Tampa. With all that being said, is UC Saros your Vezina Trophy winner halfway through the season?
You know, you said it. There's a lot of guys, I think, are, you know, in that conversation. Shesterkin, I mean, you look at his numbers, and, you know, right now he's probably the guy, if they were voting on the award, that would win. And whether he should win or not is a different story. The more I get into, you know, the deeper analytics of the position that we've really tried to delve into the last few years, the more you really kind of see everybody's, individual situation given their team dynamic. And I think Saros, you know, he's a guy that I honestly feel maybe he doesn't win the Vezina, but he could be up for the Hart Trophy because of how valuable he is, which is crazy, right? You know, it's because of how valuable he is to the Predators. And you look at all the goals saved above average, you look at all the slot shots and all the, you know, types of the workload that he's carried, compared to, let's say, a guy like Shesterkin. He, if you go into that, and I'm drawing a blank of the guy's name, he put out a good analytic thing, Mike. Help me out if you've seen it. I retweeted it.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Mike Kelly, that's it.
Mike Kelly. Yeah.
Teamwork.
There you go. Makes the dream work. And he does a good job of getting into some of those deeper analytics. And UC Saros is his guy because of the amount of work, because of the, you know, the quality shots that he faces and goals saved above expected. So he's definitely up there. I just, you know, it's tough. The general managers picked the Vezina Trophy, and you know, how many general managers do you think you know, Brendan Shanahan's watching Nashville Predator games, or, you know, like, it just doesn't work like that. So they have to rely on other people to make those votes for them, and maybe their goalie guys. So anytime you get into voting, it's tough. But he's definitely up there. To make a long story long, he would definitely be him and Shesterkin would be my guys.
All right, this is a little bit off topic, but we've just been talking about this, C-Mace, with Tom Brady's retirement. Who is the greatest team sports athlete in, let's say, North American history?
Ooh, boy. In North American history. I mean, he's got to be up there just for the amount of winning that he's done and success and health. He might be the greatest of all time, I think. You know, as much I don't... Not a huge fan of the guy in terms. I think he's kind of nerdy and all that kind of stuff. But you know, and he's kind of goofy, which I actually respect it. I think he is. He's got to be, to me, one of the best. And that's just off the top, maybe. But I have to. Maybe I'll come back if I think of something else.
I just figured you'd throw a hot. You know, like some people are throwing Gretzky at us. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, he obviously Wayne Gretzky's up there too. But if you look at the amount of success that Tom Brady's having in his career and just the way that he's done it. Maybe it's because of the position too. You know, the quarterback seems to be the guy. He's the one that gets the job done in hockey. Such a team game, but I'd have to think about that. Obviously the great one is amazing, but you know, you look at some of the teams he played on, Edmonton. Yeah, let me. I'll come back at you next week.
I like it. All right, that's good stuff. See, Mace, last thing for you here is the Preds take on Vancouver coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Forsberg continuing to score, Duchesne scoring, putting pucks in the back of the net. Who do you need to see maybe a little bit more out of on the offensive side of the things as the Predators continue to move forward here?
Yeah, you know, I think once, you know, Tolvin gets back, I think to me that's, you know, we talk about how well he plays the 200-foot game, and you know, obviously that was one of the things as a young player that, you know, he really had to work on, I think, to, you know, become a full-time player in the National Hockey League. But at the end of the day, you know, here's a player who was drafted for his offensive prowess, and, you know, we saw a lot of that last year come to fruition, and I feel maybe he's got to go back to finding the balance and maybe take a little more, you know, risk in his game. Not anything crazy, but, you know, offensive players sometimes have to do that to get opportunities and to maybe be, because he's a guy that can be so impactful. And if you want him to be a, you know, a top six guy, you know, you need more offense from him, even though he's playing well. So for me, he's a key player, I think, in the second half for this team. If they want to, you know, continue the pace they're going. And, you know, you look at the Central Division, it's the top four teams in the Central have more points than the top team in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
So it's tough. So, you know, you're talking wild card, or, you know, you're going to be going in the West. You could be second or third. I think Colorado might have first spot wrapped up. A little too early for that, but that's just what I think. But the rest of the, you know, jockey for position, nice to get home ice in the first round of playoffs.
Well, I would assume that Colorado's going to lose maybe at some point again, maybe this season, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not at home, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're incredible what they've been able to do. See, Mace, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Have fun tonight. Preds, okay, and Canucks.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Good talk.
Absolutely. Chris Mason brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer.
Got to go with a hockey guy there. Here's another point on the team player. You know, hockey players, basketball players, they play defense and offense.
They do.
You know, defense half the game.
You know, Tom Brady willed the Buccaneers last year on defense to a championship.
Yeah,
so what are you talking about?
That's a good point. That's true.
Yeah.
He did the Mr. Miyagi on some of their injuries, and then he just did the Jedi mind trick. And yeah, that's a good point.
No, I have a separated shoulder. But by God, Tom Brady told me to get out there and play, and that's what
Tommy,
I'm doing.
Tommy inspired me. Terrible, terrible accent. I'm sorry.
Sound like Ben Affleck. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 25 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This tweet coming from Spotrack says, in 22 seasons, Tom Brady lost 73 regular season games. In the last seven seasons, the Jets have lost 76 games.
Oh, that's now that's good stuff right there.
Oh, boy.
That is good stuff. There's a lot of nice different kinds of takes on Tom Brady as he retires. I just saw another one that was really good, and I've already forgotten it. But if I find it, I'll let you know.
The New England Patriots have tweeted, says, quote, "It was quite the ride. Thank you and congratulations, Tom Brady," with a nice artistic drawing of Tom Brady riding off in a boat toward the sunset with his six Super Bowls that he won with the Patriots in tow. So the Patriots have at least acknowledged that Tom Brady exists. Even Brady did not acknowledge that they exist. It's good stuff.
It's a very nice little graphic. Again, like, there's got to be someone in the org that he likes, right? Again, the dude who deflated the footballs? What's his name again?
I don't know.
Destroyed the phone? Like, come on. Got to be somebody.
Yeah, like, Kyle Van Noy is still there, right? Likes him.
Does he?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. That's. It's fun to joke about, but it's a little weird. Belichick, that's not weird. Belichick, not like. In fact, I think
it pretty clearly ended very poorly.
Well, right, but to me, like, if you really want to get at Belichick, you actually name everyone in the Patriots org. You know what I mean? Other than him,
yes.
Like, you name every single assistant coach at the Patriots who ever coached you. Quality control guy, like everybody.
Josh McDaniels. Just keep going down the list.
Let me do this in alphabetical order of everyone who was so important to me with this incredible Patriots organization. And then just leave Kraft out too. Leave Belichick and Kraft out. That's fine. Like you could name like Robert Kraft family members, but not him. Like you could, you know what I mean? There's no way that he's bitter at the entire organization.
Do you know somebody he forgot to thank?
Tom, there was a lot of talk about perhaps you coming to the Titans a couple of years ago. In the HBO shop thing, you talked about a team picking, staying with a quarterback over you. A lot of people wonder in Nashville if that was Ryan, and if so, what do you think of Ryan?
I like Ryan a lot. He's a great player. So he's obviously a great leader for that team, and he's done a great job. Last year was phenomenal. The year before that, he was great. So I really like Ryan. Competed against him a lot. He's beaten me quite a few times. So I think he's a great player.
But he wasn't that MF-er in the shop.
Did you say MF-er out here?
He wasn't that MF-er.
Oh, was Ryan? Yeah. No, Ryan wasn't. Ryan's a great guy. No, I like Ryan. I was just talking. Just fodder.
Oh, it was fodder.
Did not mention Stillman.
So Stillman or Ryan? Who were you saying he should?
I was saying Stillman.
Yeah,
just because he loves him.
That was a good question. Wasn't that MF-er?
Yeah,
that was good. Do you believe Tom? Do we believe Tom?
I don't know that I do.
No,
I think he's talking about Jimmy G.
I think he's talking about Jimmy G too.
Yeah,
it makes sense because he would actually consider him an MF-er.
Yes, he would because he actually came
to New England. But it's worth a question. Good job, Jared. And he didn't sound totally like a kazoo there.
Oh, man. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, come on, Joe. You got Clowney here, so work your magic on Tommy Boy. It's coming from Heidi from Dixon.
Joe's Tommy.
Just call him up. Say, look, Tom, I know you're considering retirement. You've made it official. But get down here to Nashville just one more time.
I mean, listen. Titans go next year. They go 10-7. Tannehill's the quarterback. They can get out of it, you know, with a lot less painfully.
Yeah.
I mean, you think Ray Rob as a tandem, like a party line? You think they don't give him a call? He's been out of football for a year.
I would give him a call.
You know, he's got the itch. He's bored of avocado tequila and buying islands.
So are we saying now that he is retired from? Retired from the NFL, is it now more likely that Tom Brady plays for the Titans than it would have otherwise been? Could be.
Just a man. And Brady and Randy Moss, you know, they just couldn't quite get it together here.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man.
So, a lot of, Yeah, that is that is an out. There's getting a, that tweet is getting a lot of traction.
Oh yeah,
Tom Brady, who lost two Super Bowls to the Giants. Oh, that's outstanding.
So, what do you think of now? The NHL and the Hockey Hall of Fame did this with Gretzky. So you retire, and they said, "Hey, yeah, we ain't waiting. We're going straight in, buddy." Yeah, what do you think of that with Brady?
I think it's stupid. I think that waiting a little bit makes it better when it happens. So just do the same thing. Yes, he's the greatest. It doesn't mean that he supersedes rules for playing. Well, I mean, maybe he does. But, you know, I mean, no. I think take the 5 years, and then it'll be to me, there's some the value in that wait. And, I mean, honestly.
Like 5 years from now, we'll know whether or not he's ever going to come back and play.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it's actually not crazy to think that he could get the itch. Yeah. And he could still come back and play at a high level. So, you know. Gentry Estes with a tweet right now. A little late here, but I'd imagine I'm not the only one to notice Brady didn't mention the Patriots. End quote.
Gentry, I can confirm that Gentry. You were not. Yeah. You're not the only one to notice.
But good job noticing. It's very noticeable.
Yeah. That's going to be talked about for all week.
Well, here's the thing about it. Now, who knows? I mean, I know he's got like a podcast that he has Jim Gray, you know, set up to ask him questions, but like the next time that he just does an interview with someone, which is going to happen, How is that not going to be almost the first question asked?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, no one's surprised if he omits Belichick, but I don't know. I thought it was weird.
So has Brady like just mentally blocked out the Patriots? He's like, yeah, you know, done with them. 20 years, doesn't matter. Not associating with them.
Again, like, what about the fans?
I mean, I don't know.
Every single person in this league is rich because of fans.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Tom Brady's rich also because of marriage, but
well, there's that too,
right?
Yes, Joe.
How much more? Like, what's her annual? What's her net worth?
I mean, I have no idea. Robbie's
it's 400. Well, them together is net worth of 400 million. It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
They need to adopt me.
Got to get going a little bit more to be an owner, though. Ownership going.
No, excuse me. Her net worth is $400
million. Okay.
That is independent of Tom Brady's $250 million.
Okay, so they're close to a bill.
Almost doubles him.
Yeah.
They're close to it. They're more than halfway to a bill. Okay. They can do this.
You think they're going to be okay?
I think they're going to be all right. But again, why? Why do people get rich doing these things? Why do we have jobs? Because fans watch
sports.
Yes.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the New England fans. They supported you for many, many years.
So now that Tom Brady...
Did they ever boo Tom Brady? Did New England fans ever boo Tom Brady? I mean, I'm not saying he ever did anything worth booing, but like, did they ever boo him?
I don't think so. Nobody booed him when he came back this year, did they?
If anything, he got people to be Bucks fans.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, he thanked them. He thanked everybody who lives in Florida.
He went down the street knocking on doors. Hi, Tom Brady here. Really appreciate you letting me live here the last couple years.
Like, let's go in alphabetical order. B, Antonio Brown, I so thank you for living with me and being a wonderful teammate. Anybody else in the Bs? I can't think of anybody.
The way that Tom Brady decided to retire has knocked him down to number 8 on Joe Rexroth's all-time quarterback list. That's what we've learned here today.
I mean, it's
on the program.
Brady, Fouts, I don't know, man. It's close.
That's going to do it for us here today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.